So a lot of exciting things happening in this season. Janice just reminded me when I sat down, actually, that a number of you, you purchased at the women's brunch and then last Sunday, goods that had been produced through the Convoy of Hope Women's Empowerment Program. And she wanted you all to know that through your generosity, $2,300 went out to empower women around the world to start micro businesses. And so thank you so much for your giving toward that as well. Something to celebrate. One last announcement, and this is not for a while, but I want you to circle this date on your calendar. We are doing, for the first time ever here at Bethel Church, a special event called Legacy Grandparenting Dinner. And it's taking place on Friday, February 4th, so circle that date, Friday, February 4th. And Janice and I have just had on our, we're experienced, we have been grandparents for 11 years now. And so we have some things in our heart that we want to share with our entire church, all of you grandparents and great-grandparents, about how to grandparent intentionally and also in a grace-based manner. And so we're looking forward to this Legacy Grandparenting Dinner. The one qualification to attend is you have to be a grandparent. All right, and so tickets for that will go on sale on January 9th, all right? So got a few weeks out, but wanted you to get it on your calendar. Hey, so glad to see so many of you here this morning, and I see quite a few of you folks that are new today. Good to see you. God bless you. I want to this morning find out something. I want to find out, who among us traveled the furthest to come to church today? Okay, so we're going to do a little game here. Who traveled the furthest to come to church today? Now, if you traveled, from across the country somewhere, and you're here visiting your family, and you're here today, and you're from Maine or Florida or something, God bless you. We're glad you're here, but that's not this contest. This contest is the person who actually, or the people that actually just like came the furthest today, traveled the furthest today to be with us, all right? So, we'll just start off with anybody travel over, I'll start it at 20 miles. Anybody here travel over 20 miles to be at church today? Raise your hand. Okay, woo, quite a few of you, all right? How about 25 miles? Anybody travel more than 25 miles? Okay, I'm looking for hands. Okay, how about 30? 30 miles. Anybody here? Okay, so we're at 25, Rogue River. Is that where you guys came from? Rogue River. Yes, it's, how far? 22 miles. And you guys came how many? We might have to Google this. What's that? 22 to 25. All right. The good news is, we kind of have a tie here. The good news is, hello. How far did you travel?
It's about an hour, so about 50 miles.
50 miles? Where do you come from? Hornbrook, California. Wow. Come on up here. Come on up here. You got to get your prize. Yeah, Woody. Yes. Hornbrook, they let you cross the border. Sometimes. Yes. So what we have for you, Woody, is we have a $50 gift card to Fred Meyer Gas. Yeah. Yes, $50. That ought to get you about a quarter of a tank these days, so spend it fast. Yes. Well, the title of my message today is Going the Distance, because the whole Christmas story is filled with people who traveled, right? A lot of traveling in the Christmas story. For example, Mary and Joseph, of course, Mary and Joseph. It was about a 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So that, you know, for us might not sound like a long ways. It's about, you know, for us, it's about like going to Roseburg for us. So, but keep in mind, you know, they're walking, right? They're walking. And Mary's 9 months pregnant. Walking, 9 months pregnant. Now, I know there's a lot of pictures and plays and movies with Mary on a donkey. That's not really in the Bible. I'm not saying she didn't ride a donkey at some point, but it's not really in the Bible. She might have walked the entire distance, but even if she was riding a donkey 90 miles, 9 months pregnant, come on, right? And I'm not even going to start talking about all the bathroom breaks there would have been with that, right? So Mary and Joseph, but their journeys actually didn't end when they got to Bethlehem, because shortly after Jesus was born, remember Herod the Great, on hearing the birth of the Messiah, was out to kill Jesus, and so Mary and Joseph actually had to leave Bethlehem, and from Bethlehem they went to Egypt. And they lived in Egypt for a time, and then they go clear back to Nazareth. So all in all, they traveled probably about 300 miles. And so that's a lot of traveling. I also want to mention the travels. This is kind of an honorable mention. The shepherds, they didn't travel very far. They were, you know, in the fields around Bethlehem. They didn't travel very far, but it looks like they ran the whole way. So I want to at least mention that they were involved, yeah. And then, of course, the Magi, or the wise men, came from probably modern-day Iraq. So they traveled about 400 miles to get to Bethlehem, 800 miles round trip. You know, that's really wanting to see Jesus, right? I mean, that's really wanting to see Jesus. There's a lot of traveling in the Christmas story. But when you think about it, the person who traveled the furthest at Christmas, the grand champion, is Jesus, who left his home in heaven to come to this world. Now, you know, we don't know, you know, distance-wise how far away heaven is. It's just not information that we have. But certainly in every way, you know, the difference between heaven and earth is so great that Jesus went through a great distance in order to come and to be our Savior. The Bible says that Jesus is God in the flesh. The title that the angels gave Jesus is Emmanuel, which in English means God with us. So Jesus is literally God, and he left his throne in heaven to come into this world. And this tells us a great deal about the heart of God. It tells us that God is good. It tells us that God is willing to go through great lengths for his children. Amen? So number one, if you're taking notes this morning, number one in your notes is this: there is no distance God will not go. There's no distance God will not go. In Luke 19, Jesus tells us why he did it. Why did Jesus exchange a palace for a stable? Why did Jesus leave his heavenly home? Luke 19:10, Jesus said this: the Son of Man — this is a title that Jesus often used of himself — the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's why Jesus came. So Christmas, the Christmas story, is a story of search and rescue. God is so loving, so kind, so compassionate that he didn't turn his back on us in our sin and rebellion, but rather God traveled from heaven to earth to come to save us. So there's no distance God will not go in order to save us. So perhaps this morning you have seen yourself as a person who is far from God. I have good news for you today. God is not far from you. Amen. And what you've been unable to do in your own strength, in your own striving, your own power, God has already done for you. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. That's something to celebrate. Amen. I love the spirit of joy and celebration in this place today. There are those who would say that Christmas is overdone, that it's over-commercialized, and I would say to that, over-commercialized, no doubt. Overdone, impossible. Right? So I say, deck the halls. Play Christmas music really loud. Ring the bells. Give joyfully and generously. Have big meals with lots of people. Dance in the streets. Shout it from the rooftops. Our Savior has come. Hallelujah. Yeah. There is no distance God will not go for those he loves. And then secondly, there's no barrier God will not break down. There's no barrier God will not break down. So it's one thing for Jesus to come into this world, but then there's this whole other thing of transforming our hearts, right? Because our unredeemed hearts are in opposition to God. And our unredeemed self will throw up every blockade that we can to keep God out. So there's all these barriers. There are doubts, unbelief, sin. I mean, if people were to be real and honest, they would say, you know, the real reason I haven't come to Jesus yet is because I like my sin. Right? And sin becomes this barrier, hurts, unforgiveness, you know, wounds that we've had in our past where we just our hearts have been closed down. Right? All of these things are barriers that are built up in our hearts, and we all have them, whether they're intentional or not, whether we admit it or not, they're there. These barriers between us and God. But the good news for us today is God doesn't allow these barriers to keep him out. Amen? Jesus is the great barrier breaker. He tears down that stuff. He breaks through it because he's passionate about his love for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says about these barriers, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. So if you've been thinking to yourself, well, there's just too much there. There's too much between me and God. Listen, I want you to know, you might have given up on yourself, but God has not given up on you. He won't. Yeah. There is no barrier that God will not break down. And then thirdly, I want you to know this, that Christmas tells us this. There is no corner that God will not search. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three amazing stories about God searching for that which has been lost, searching for his lost children. And so the first story, these are all stories that you recognize probably, but the first story is the story of the lost sheep, that there are 99 that are still there, but there's one lost, and the loving shepherd leaves the 99, and he searches high and low until he finds the one little lamb that's lost, and he brings it back. Okay? The third story is the great story of the prodigal son, that the son that leaves his family in rebellion and goes off, and he spends the next portion of his life just living so sinfully, and he wastes his entire inheritance, and yet the father continues to love him, and the son finally has a wake-up call one day when everything's gone, and he's got nothing left to bring home but himself, and so he turns around, and the father sees his son at a distance, and he runs after his son and embraces him and welcomes him home and gives him a robe and a ring on his finger and restores him, right? So that's the first story in that chapter, and the third story in that chapter. Sandwiched between those two stories, Jesus told a lesser-known story, and it's about a woman who lost a coin. And so Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Now, for you and I, we might think, what's the big deal? It's one coin, right? Big deal. Well, there's every indication in this story, because there's no husband that's mentioned, there's every indication that this woman is a widow. She's by herself. And in that day, a widow woman really had no decent way of making a living. And so every one of these 10 coins, this is what she has to live on. This is it, right? And so to lose one of these 10 is life-changing for her. It's devastating. And so Jesus uses this as an example because he wants us to see how valuable each and every one of us is to God. You know, we could look at a crowd of people and say, what am I among so many, even in a church this morning? Who am I? Or who am I of all the people in the world that God loves? Who am I? I'm just a nobody. And Jesus is coming to tell us, no, you're not a nobody. You matter to God, right? And because you matter to God, there's no corner that God will not search to find you. So it goes on to say, and when she finds it, she finds the coin over in the corner under some dust. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And then Jesus says this, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And in just a few moments, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to give an opportunity to anybody that might be here or anybody that's watching online to come to Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, if just one of you comes to Jesus today, the Bible says, Jesus said, all the angels in heaven are going to be rejoicing. You mean heaven would throw a party over me? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. That's how much you mean to God. Yeah, there's no distance God will not travel. There's no barrier God will not break through. There's no corner God will not search. And this is a reminder, by the way, sometimes those of us who've been Christians for a while, we'll talk about when we found Jesus. Like, and that's fine to say that, but I want to tell you, in reality, you didn't find Jesus, Jesus found you, right? You were running and hiding, and Jesus found you anyway. Yeah. And then the fourth thing that I want to say this morning about Christmas is there's no price God will not pay. There's no price God will not pay. So the gifts that we exchange at Christmas are symbolic of the generosity of God. They're a picture of the fact that salvation is a gift from God, that Jesus is a gift from God. And salvation, it's a free gift. Salvation is free to us, but remember, the gift of salvation came at a high price to God. You didn't pay the price, but God did. And he paid the most incredible price. I cannot imagine, as a father who loves his children very much, I can't imagine like giving up one of my kids. To save somebody, let alone somebody who's lived in rebellion toward me, who's not even thought of me, not loved me, and yet this is exactly what God did. So our salvation comes at a high price. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. I love this. Peter wasn't a wealthy man, but still he says, silver, psst. Gold, psst. Come on. Streets are going to be paved with it in heaven. Silver, gold, they're nothing. You were redeemed from the empty way of life, but you weren't redeemed with those things, but with the precious blood of Christ. All the silver and gold in the world can't pay for our sin. There's only one thing valuable enough, powerful enough, precious enough to pay for sin, and that is the blood that Jesus shed at Golgotha when he was crucified there. It's the only thing that saves. And so today I want you to know God loves you. He loves you. Christmas is just another proof of how much God loves you. That Jesus left heaven and he came into this world to save you, to redeem you. He did that for you. He loves you that much. You know, in the Christmas season, there's a lot of noise in the Christmas season that just comes with the season. A lot of people trying to get our attention. How many of you, just like 4 weeks ago, all of a sudden your mailbox was jammed with catalogs? Right? And emails and phone calls and text messages. All these, you know, people and businesses clamoring for your attention, trying to get your attention. But I want you to know the one that really wants your attention, not because he needs it, but because he loves you, is God. And I want to just encourage you, shut out all the other noise and listen to the only really important voice, and that's the voice of God calling you to himself. It's the only one that really matters. It's the only one that can save you. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads with me and just close your eyes for a moment. I don't know what kind of gifts you're going to get this Christmas season. I hope you get something you really like. But I'm here to tell you that the only gift that really, really matters is the gift of salvation through Jesus. If you have nothing in this world, but you have Jesus, you have everything. On the other hand, you can have everything in this world, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Because there is going to be an end date to your life. And when it's all said and done, when it's all over, none of the stuff we have is going to matter at all. It's all going away, folks. All the silver, all the gold, all the cars, all the houses, all everything. It's all going away. But there's one thing that will last forever and ever and ever, and that's your salvation. Knowing Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you don't really have anything. And so I want to give an opportunity today for anybody that might be here watching online and you haven't given your life to Christ, or you're not sure really where that relationship is right now, and today's your day to make a recommitment of your life to Christ, to come back to Jesus. There's no greater gift that you could receive this Christmas season than the gift of knowing Jesus, the gift of knowing that you have eternal life, the gift of knowing that your sins have been forgiven. There is no greater thing in all the world than that. And so I want to invite you today, if you want to give your life to Christ or recommit your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer with me right now, and Jesus is going to come into your life and change you and forgive you, and you're going to have eternal life. I want to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to count to three. When I get to the number three, if today you want to receive Christ into your life and you want to be included in this prayer, when I get to the number three, just raise your hand up. And you might say, well, Tim, I've been in church all my life. Listen, being in church all your life, that can be a good thing, except for this, it's not what saves us. There are going to be people that have gone to church all their life that aren't going to make it into heaven. That's the truth. And so whether you've been going to church or not, if today you know you need Christ in your life, respond to this invitation. And when I get to the number three, just raise your hand up and you just say, Pastor Tim, that's me. That's me today. I want to be included in this prayer. Raise your hand when I get to three. One, two, three. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. All over this place today. Any others? Any others this morning? I'm going to lead those of you who raised your hand in a prayer right now. And I want you to know, I'm going to ask you to just repeat these words after me, but you're really not repeating words. God's hearing your prayer right now, and God's going to answer your prayer. He's going to come into your life. Your sins are going to be forgiven. You're going to have eternal life through Christ. You say, can it really be that simple? Yes, it's that simple. Don't complicate the things that God has made simple. We do that too often. God has made salvation so simple and we make it so complicated. I invite you to just come to the simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to pray with you right now, and I'm going to lead you just in this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat just one phrase at a time after me. And church, would you pray with those? You might have prayed this prayer many times. Would you pray again with those that are responding to the invitation today? Lord Jesus, I bring my life to you. God, I need you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you came into this world, that you died on a cross for my sins, and that you have risen from the dead. Lord, I open the door of my heart. I invite you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive my sins today. Jesus, right now, I give myself totally to you. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, if the Bible says all of heaven rejoices, then we should certainly rejoice over this as well. Amen. Yeah. And so welcome to the family of God, those of you who prayed that prayer with me. I want to invite you to take another step. We've got a little area over here that we call our New to Faith Station. If you've given your life to Christ this morning or recently, we have some people back there that would love to meet you. We have some information back there to help you. We've got some materials to put in your hand. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got a Bible we'd like to give to you free this morning. And we just want to help you in your walk with the Lord. And so that's what that's about. Please, please, please take advantage of that. If you're online and you pray to receive Christ, let someone know, one of those online hosts, let them know. Yeah, God is good. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. You know, when I just thought about the online folks, I just remembered something I was supposed to do earlier. When I asked about who the furthest away, who came the furthest, if you're online and you're far away, we're doing a contest with you, and we're gonna mail you a gift card, whoever came the furthest. So you just put on there on the chat line how far you are away today from the church, and we'll mail you a gift card too. All right, let's stand together. Christmas Eve service, Friday night, 6 o'clock. It's always a great time. Great opportunity to invite people to church. Now, I want to ask this morning, I want to just do one more prayer with you. How many of you are going to spend at least some part of this week or the next week with with family members or friends that don't know Jesus. All right? Anybody here? Okay, you're going to spend some of your time. I just want to pray for you right now. All right? It's really cool when people are missionaries to Africa and India and places like that. But listen, you're a missionary to your family. You're a missionary to your friends. So I just want to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, I want to pray right now over every person that's going to be spending at some point in the next 2 weeks. They're going to have a family meal, a family celebration. They're going to be with people in their own family or people that are friends of theirs who don't know you. God, I pray for each and every one of us that we're going to shine the light of Jesus Christ, Lord, in every dark place, Lord. God, that your love is going to shine through us. We're going to be servants. We're going to love people. We're going to pray for people. We're going to be there for people. And God, we're going to represent you well wherever we're at. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Let's sing a song together.